What a great day. Welcome to Evangel. Happy New Year, all y'all. It's a good year. Yeah. So we always have a tradition here. I thought we'd just carry it on into 2017, that it's a good day. I know you want to say it with me. One, two, three. It's a... Yeah. And how about 2017? It's a... good year. Yes, it's going to be a good year. I have decided it. And so that's it. 2017 is a good year and today's a good day. And it's just phenomenal. And so if there are people here and you're here for the very first time, we're going to ask if you would just raise your hand. We want to give you something. There's nothing freaky. No one's going to show up at your door. We're not going to harass you. But we want to give you a little something that has some information in it. And we also, it has a piece of paper in it if you want to be on our email list and to find out what's going on. So if you're here for the first time, raise your hand high in the air and they're going to come by and they're going to give it to you. There's some right here. And I think I saw maybe some over here. Can we just welcome the people that are here for the first time? Right? It's awesome. Keep your hand up, wave it really aggressively until they get to you. It's hard for them to see. And so if you are here and it's your first time, thanks for coming. If you're here for the 5 millionth time, thanks for coming back. Okay? Turn to the person beside you, say thanks for coming back. It's good. It's good when people come back. That is a real plus. And I am super pumped today. It's a good day. There's just been some awesome things happening. I just want to tell you some of the things that have me excited today I'm overflowing a little bit, and I got to tell you. First of all, this week on Wednesday, this past week, me and the cute guy that was playing guitar here, we celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. Right? We were 12 when we got married, so there's that, and now on to the next quarter century, and so we're excited about that. That was a good thing. Here's another thing I'm excited about. Yesterday, so our custodian that we had here resigned over the holidays, and he's moving on to something else that God has for him, and that's all great. It's finished New Year's Eve, but it leaves us without a custodian, and so we didn't have anyone to shovel the snow and to do a whole bunch of other things, and so we were trying to figure out a way to cover it, and yesterday, somebody was here at the church, and they took a picture, and they sent it to me, and we're going to show it on the screen. And it was two people, this is my understanding, two guys that showed up and shoveled us out yesterday. Yay! Now, this is the story that I heard, and I haven't had a chance to confirm the details yet, but this is what I was told. If you were here New Year's Eve, you know that there were six people that were baptized in water, and it was just phenomenal. Six people, they told their stories, and my understanding is the two guys that shoveled us out yesterday, I think they were here New Year's Eve, and they were family members of somebody that got baptized on New Year's Eve. How great is that? Right? And so whoever you guys are, if you're here, just thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much. And just so glad to have you as part of things. And so I'm excited about that. I'm also excited because for the month of December and the second half, and especially on New Year's Eve, we said, listen, we're going to try to take care of home base. We're going to look after this space that God has given us. We need to catch up on our mortgage fund and all of that. And so we asked if you would give a little extra. I thought maybe you would like to know how much came in. No? Okay. Because if you don't want to know, I don't have to tell you. Okay, I thought maybe you would like to know. So I asked Nancy if she would put in a little extra work this week and give me that number by today. And so she sent it to me late Friday night. And so this is the amount that came in to help with our mortgage fund. Are you ready? Are you ready? Turn the person beside you. Are you ready? That's awesome. I don't know how that's happening, but that's awesome. I love that. $13,566.36. That's great. And somebody goes, why are you so excited? Well, because I like paying bills. I get excited when we can pay the bills. And so that's really good. And the other thing that I'm excited about, I'm just telling you, is I was here at 6:30 this morning with our worship team. Our worship team's always here at 6:30. And you know what they do before they do anything else? They pray together. And so if you happen to be walking by here, you were here at 6:45 this morning, you would have seen our whole worship team, the sound people and our instrumentalists and the singers, everybody standing up here in little pairs, little groups of three and four, praying together and praying for our service. And so I got to be part of that. And then I walked through the whole building and I prayed over every chair that you're sitting in. I prayed over the kids zone downstairs, and I prayed through the Connect Cafe area, and I prayed through over at La Campus. And I just, we prayed for you. We prayed that God would be here this morning, and we prayed that God would connect with you. And I love that. I get excited when I know that God's presence is here and ready to connect with people. I don't know if you do, but I get excited. And so Sunday mornings, we pray here early. Tuesday mornings, our staff prays here early. Listen, if you ever want to get up early in the morning, pray with me. You just let me know. Sunday morning, Tuesday morning, you come on by and you're welcome to do that. Cool, eh? So I'm excited. I'm a little pumped. Look at the person beside you. Go, she's a little pumped today. Yeah, I am. Anything else that you want to know is on our website, or there's a piece of paper back at Get Connected. There's ways that you can give on the screen, and we appreciate everything that you do. So God, this morning we're going to give back to you some of what you've given to us. And we thank you, God, because you are the God who provides, and you look after our needs, and you take care of us. And so we're asking that everything that's given today would be used for your honor and for your glory, and that you would stretch it further than makes sense. Help us to use it well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, you go right ahead and take this morning's offering. And we're starting a new series this morning that's going to last for 4 weeks here at Evangel. And it's got a really, really spiritual name to it. Okay? Are you ready? It's called Really? Like that. And you have to say it. I have to go, Really? Okay? So try it with me, because you got to get used to it. It's going to last for 4 weeks. Okay? 1, 2, 3. Really? Oh, that's good. That's good tone, okay? Try it one more time. This side's a little bit more, they got a little better tone than you guys do. So I think you can do it on this side. Let's just try it all together. 1, 2, 3. Really? And the answer is really, okay? And so this is the series that we're doing today. It's because we started this this online devotional group. And the devotional itself is called Really? Like that. It looks like that on. And what we did was we did two online things. So track with me, okay? We went to Bible.com, which has all of these reading plans and devotional plans, and we picked the one that's called Thank you. That's the one. And it's 28 days long. And we started it last Sunday. You can still join in if you want to. The link is on our website. You just go there. You could join in during the sermon this morning if you want to. And then what we did was, anybody that was joining in this reading plan, we set up on Facebook an Evangel Online Devotional Group. It's a really catchy name, I know. Evangel Online Devotional Group. And anybody that's doing this plan joined in this group, and we talk about it on this page. And so we're doing that for 28 days. And here's what the devotional is about. This is the explanation that it gives on the Really website. It says, if we're honest, some things we read in the Bible leave us shaking our heads. Is it really even possible to sincerely love people who are different from us? Can we really be content with what we have? How about prayer? Does God really hear us? During this study, we're going to talk about how things that can seem so impossible for us are completely possible with God. Really? And what's the answer? Really. Okay? And so that's what we're doing. Now, I have three goals as we do this, as we do the online devotional group during the week, and as we do the Sundays that follow up from the 6 days before or the 7 days before. I have three goals, and I'm just being straight up telling you what they are. Number one is, most Christians that I've ever met, most followers of Jesus, struggle to try to develop a habit of reading your Bible and praying every day. We call it devotions lots of times. And so developing this habit of daily devotions. And so I'm trying to give you a tool and a pathway to help you develop that habit over 28 days. So that's one of my goals, is to help you do that. My second goal is to build the sense of community here at Evangel as we do that, because we're doing it together on the Facebook group. And so you're not just alone trying to do it, but you're doing it with a group of people, and it builds a sense of community. And here's my third goal, and I hope you know by now I'm a pretty honest person. My third goal is, for those of you that only come on Sundays and you don't get involved in anything else, I'm hoping to make you go, oh, I should get involved in that. I want you to feel like you're missing out on what the rest of us are doing during the rest of the week. And so those are my three goals as we do this. And so I've told you where it is online and how you can participate. And there's going to be four topics that happen through this series that is called... There you go. Okay, four topics. The first one is unity. The second one is priorities. The third one is relationships. And the fourth one is prayer. And prayer is going to happen on the last Sunday in January, and it's actually going to be a prayer and worship and communion service. And so make sure you put that in your calendar. You do not want to miss that service. It's going to be an awesome one. But today, we're doing unity, okay? Now, generally, there's a little bit of a problem that happens with unity. We all talk about unity, but it's a little bit difficult to navigate because generally, people prefer to hang out with people that are similar to themselves. Okay? Most people prefer to hang out with people that are same as them, whether it's because they're the same age, or they're in the same school, or they have the same favorite basketball team, or even it could be based on ethnicity. I had a friend today, and she's in her first year at McGill. Not today, earlier this week. She's in her first year at McGill, and she's got two roommates with her in res. And I said to her, "How's it going with your roommates?" And she said, "Well, one of them I'm really good friends with. We've just really hit it off. And the other one, though, she came from her own country, and she prefers to hang out with people that are also from her own country. So I really haven't gotten a chance to know her as much." Okay, we prefer to hang out with people that are similar to ourselves. And here's just a side note that's for free. I'm not even going to preach on it, but I'm just going to throw it out there for you. Many Christians, many followers of Jesus fall into this trap so much that they don't actually have any friends. They don't know anyone who's not a Christian. They don't hang out with anyone who's not a follower of Jesus. And that becomes a problem because most people become followers of Jesus. They meet Jesus. They connect with God through a friend. So if people who are followers of Jesus don't have friends that don't know Jesus, those people are not going to meet Jesus. Okay? That's a separate sermon, just throwing that out on the side. But unity can be a little bit difficult, and there's a few difficulties with unity specifically. And one of them is that unity, the concept of unity, is offensive. It's a little bit offensive for people. When the early church was born, in the book of Acts, when the first church was born, I think probably one of the hardest things for this new church to wrap its head around was this idea of unity, this idea that everybody was welcome in the same place. Because until then, until that point, God's people were the Jewish people. That's it. God's people were the Jewish people. And it had been that way forever. It had been that way for centuries. They knew that's how it was. And every now and then, you know, a Gentile would join the ranks. Somebody like Ruth in the Old Testament or somebody like that would join in the ranks. But they had to learn the rules when they joined the ranks. And they had to learn this is what you eat and this is how you dress and this is all the things that you do. These are the rules that you follow. And you have to do everything just so. And even in that case, the Gentiles were only allowed to participate so far. They weren't allowed to fully participate in everything. So it wasn't so much unity as uniformity, right? Say that with me, uniformity. Uniformity. You didn't do that very well. That's okay. But uniformity is sameness, right? Unity is being together. Uniformity is saying everybody's the same. So they struggled with this in the early church. So when Peter, the apostle Peter, had that vision, there's this story in the book of Acts where he has this vision where this sheet gets lowered in front of him with a bunch of animals on it that are unclean. And God says, don't call something unclean that I've called clean. You can go ahead and eat it. What God was saying to Peter and what Peter did, God was showing him, listen, the Gentiles are not unclean. They're welcome to come into the church too. And Peter's response was, really? Okay. Because it was weird. It was so offensive. It went against everything that he thought he knew about who God was and what stuff was supposed to be. And then to top it off, then the apostle Paul, he says the same thing. And he actually writes it down so they can't get away from it. He writes it down in Galatians chapter 3. And he said, there is no longer Jew or Gentile. Really? There's no longer Jew or Gentile. There's no longer slave or free. There's no longer male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And they were like, what? This is pretty hard to take for the Jewish people that were there, truthfully. It's way out of their comfort zone. Now all these Gentiles are coming into their space and they're messing everything up. and they're causing issues. They don't know the rules, and there's all these social norms that the Jewish people have known what they are forever. This is when you stand, this is when you sit, this is when you turn around, this is how you do this, this is how you greet each other, all this, and they're just doing it all differently. And they have a different sense of humor, and they have different political opinions, and they have different dialects and different ways of speaking and different accents and different everything, because every culture has their own everything. So it's difficult. There's all kinds of room for offense in there. I spent a couple days this week reading this book, and I devoured it in about 2 days. It's called Cracking the Quebec Code, The 7 Keys to Understanding Quebecers. And I read it this week because two of our staff, who are Quebecers, said, you need to read this. And so I did, and I spent the 2 days reading this book, this poor girl from Ontario, going, oh, I get it. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, this helped me. Because, you know, I think I'm allowed to say Quebec and the rest of Canada sometimes have had a tiny little history of just a little bit of offense every now and then. Right? I'm allowed to say that. Nervous laughter through the crowd. I don't think she's allowed to say that. Well, I said it. Because we're different. It doesn't mean one's better or worse, but we're different. And even when we're together, there's all kinds of room for us to cause offense for each other. It's offensive. When you're in a group and people are different, there's all kinds of room for offense. I remember when my parents, my dad was a pastor, and my parents were at this church that was a really lovely upper middle class church, and everybody that was there had been there forever, and it was just, you know, everybody was the same there to some extent. And so they had been there, and then my dad resigned from that position, and he went and volunteered down at a church in the downtown of our city that was a whole different demographic. People that didn't have homes, people that were struggling with addictions, people that had low socioeconomic status. And so it was a whole different thing. Now, my mother, who had grown up in church, you know, and had grown up that you dress up for church. That's what you do. And then she worked in an office as well her whole life. And so, well, her whole adult life, there was not child labor. As an adult, she worked in an office and you dressed up for that. And so she had skirts and dresses and lovely blouses, and that's what she wore. And so now they're down at this church in a different area where nobody dresses up and everybody just wears jeans. And I don't know if you heard me say, my dad was volunteering there, so money's pretty tight. Ever been in a place where money's pretty tight? And so somebody, thank you. And so somebody comes up to my mom in this new church where she's trying to figure out how to fit in, how do I belong? And somebody came up to her and they looked at her in her dress and her high heels and they go, what, do you think you're too good for us? You have to dress up? Why don't you just wear jeans like the rest of us? What's wrong with you? And she went, I don't own any jeans. And I don't have any money to buy any. There's lots of room for offense when we're different, when there's different ones of us in all the same place. So unity potentially is offensive. And unity also is a little bit terrifying. It's a little bit scary because if we're all in unity together and we're saying, oh, we're going to be in unity, well, then where do you draw the line? Does unity mean that just anything goes now? Does it mean that we don't have any standards anymore? We're going to compromise on something? And we really get afraid. We get afraid that we're going to lose our identity, or we're going to lose our future or our heritage, or we're going to get lost in what our values are and what's important to us. And we get really afraid of that. And you see that fear, it comes out in social media quite a bit. And it comes out in social media, especially, but not limited to politics. And it comes out when you can tell it's happening. There's this fear about unity when people start using us versus them language, right? When people refer to them and they're different than us. Anybody ever heard language like that? Right? You can see that fear there. And there's this fear that this them, who sort of take on enemy status, are going to dominate or take away the identity of us, and they're going to force us to become like them. And sometimes there's a valid fear there, often not as much, because here's the thing, and I want you to just track with me here. When we become followers of Jesus, all that other stuff, like our culture and our age and our education and our abilities and our disabilities and our political opinions. I can't believe she said political opinions. I did. And all that other stuff, when we become followers of Jesus, all that other stuff becomes secondary to our identity as followers of Jesus. Not a single amen. All that, now it doesn't go away. I'm not saying conformity. I'm saying it becomes secondary. Our primary identity becomes being a follower of Jesus. Because the truth is that unity, although it's offensive and it's terrifying, unity is the church. There are very few groups throughout history and around the world, there are very, very few groups that can model people coming together who are so different in so many different ways and still function together in unity. Very few groups except the Church of Jesus Christ. That's cool. And in our online devotional Facebook group this week, we talked about this a little bit. And I'm going to share with you some of the comments that people made. And so one person said, "We are all so accustomed to befriending or simply connecting with people similar to us. And I can honestly say that church has broken that habit for me in my life without even realizing it." Wow. "If it wasn't for Evangel and our common denominator, Jesus, I would have probably never spoken to, leave alone befriend, half of the people I've met at Evangel over the years. We're all so different. Different ages, different cultural backgrounds, different ethnicities, different habits, different styles, different everything. And one thing that unites us all, despite our difference, Jesus, so exciting." How cool is that? And then somebody else in the conversation, they said, "Well, in Christ, we can all be different, we can look different, and be in unity at the same time, embracing each other's differences and still working together in unity in Christ." So the church of Jesus Christ, is this freaky, countercultural group of people who are different in every possible way except Jesus. Jesus is the one who brings unity to it all. And the problem that we struggle with is, human nature being what it is, we're not entirely comfortable with that. And so we strive for uniformity rather than unity, and that's when we run into problems. I want to show you a video clip this morning. It's from Right Now Media, which we subscribe to. You all have access to. And it's Larry Osborne talking a little bit about this. And he's a teaching pastor at North Coast Church in San Diego. And he's just really known for speaking extensively on things about leadership and spiritual formation. And he talks about this human nature, this striving for uniformity rather than unity, and how it gets us into trouble. Just hit that video for me, guys.
Here's a fifth sign that perhaps I'm in danger of becoming an accidental Pharisee: when I insist on clone-like uniformity. You know, the more that we grow in Jesus, the more we learn the scriptures and live in light of them, we have a tendency to think that everybody else should know what we know and live as we live. And then we begin to slowly fall into the trap of thinking that all Christians look, act, think exactly alike. But the truth of the matter, on this side of heaven, we all see through the glass darkly. And we listen to the Lord, there's always a little bit of static on the line. And we all miss it somewhere. We have our blind spots. But clone-like uniformity ignores that. And it calls itself unity. But biblical unity is not found in everybody agreeing and being exactly the same. Biblical unity is found in the fact that we follow the same Jesus Christ, even though we are incredibly different. I like to think of one great example from the life of Jesus, and that is two of the apostles that he picked. He picked a guy named Simon the Zealot. He was a guy involved in guerrilla warfare against the Roman oppressors. He also picked a guy named Matthew, the tax collector. Matthew was a Jew who sold out his fellow Jews, collecting taxes from the oppressive Roman Empire, from his fellow people, giving them back to the Romans. Now, you can imagine Simon the Zealot, guerrilla warfare against the Romans, and sellout Matthew. And Jesus called them both to become part of his team. On top of that, I know on the road trips he made them room together. And sometimes I wonder if the large crowds that followed Jesus weren't there only because he was the one who was giving sight to the blind and healing the lepers, but he was also the one who was able to get a Matthew and a Simon the Zealot to walk arm in arm submitting to him as the great King and the great Lord. Whenever our churches are too full of people who always look, act, vote, and in every which way are just the same, we're in a danger zone. We're moving not towards unity in Jesus, but uniformity within our culture and our preferences.
Interesting, huh? So human nature, being what it is, tending to strive for uniformity and sameness instead of unity, how then do we as followers of Jesus, how do we stay on track in aiming for unity and going for unity rather than falling into the trap of uniformity? And the real question is, how do we make space for people that are different than us? How do we make space for people in our church? How do we make space for people outside of our church, in our lives, in our workspaces, all of that? How do we do that? How do we make space for people that are different, whether they're in our church or they're not here yet? How do we do that? It's this constant, intentional effort. It doesn't happen by accident. And we talked about it through this devotional program for 6 days this week. There was about 68 of us in the group at that time. And I thought I would summarize some of it for you today. And so there was kind of four things that popped out of how we do that. And I want to share that with you. Okay. Number one, hold up a finger. Just hold up a finger. Don't make me tell you twice. Okay. Okay. Turn. She's a little bossy in 2017. Yeah. Okay. So hold up. Number one. How do we do this? Get out of your own track. Get out of your own track. You go, what does that mean? Okay, so we looked at this story in the New Testament of Jesus when he's going around and he's teaching and he's doing the stuff that he does, and he's got this whole crowd of people following him, and lots of them are people that are like him. They're Jewish people, like he's a Jewish person, and he's doing what he does, and this guy comes to him, this Roman soldier comes to him, this Roman centurion comes to him, and he asks Jesus for help. And some of us have read this story so many times, we lose the shock factor. It's crazy that this Roman centurion came to Jesus and asked for help, because the Roman centurion is part of the oppressive system that is oppressing Jesus and his people. He's part of the political system that is dominating and oppressing the Jewish people. He's part of the system that's occupying their land. And he comes to Jesus and he asks for help. And it's crazy. It's like a slave owner coming to a slave and saying, could you help me? Or like a police officer who would go knock on the door of someone that's a known criminal and say, in all humility, I need help. Can you help me? It's just, it's crazy. And so this Roman centurion gets out of his track, away from the people that he knows, to come and ask Jesus for help. And Jesus has a choice. Is he going to stay in his own track and go, I don't think so? Or is he going to step out of his track and respond to him? And of course, that's what he does. He steps out of his track and he meets this guy in the middle and meets him where he is. And he not only responds to him and not only helps him, he actually commends him in front of all of these people. He says, because this Roman centurion comes to him and says, I need help. And Jesus, they go back and forth. And the guy basically says, Jesus, I know that you can help me. And Jesus says to him, I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all of you. He commends this guy who's totally different in front of the people that are the same as Jesus. And he just commends him. And he doesn't tell this Roman soldier to become like all of them. He doesn't tell him everything that he's doing wrong. He doesn't do anything. The guy just steps out of his track to ask for help. And Jesus steps out of his track and meets him there and gives him help. And we had some amazing conversation in our Facebook group about that. I want to share some of the comments that people made. One person said, stepping outside of my comfort zone in order to find friendships among the family is one of the best things I've done this year. Living in isolation is not living at all. I found that entering a new friendship is worth everything. And it's not replaceable with any amount of social media or television. Although walking in love with our neighbors, brothers, and sisters can be a struggle, it's so worth it. And then somebody else, they just dropped this one line. I thought it was fantastic. They said, it takes risk to create space for people that are different from us.
Whoa.
Great statement. It takes risk to create space for people that are different from us. If we want to understand unity, not uniformity, we have to get out of our tracks, okay? Number two, hold up your fingers. Number two, identify your other or your enemy. Now, the purpose of this, I want you to figure out who this person is. And the purpose that I'm using this vocabulary like this, I don't want you to go, well, that's who I'm against. I'm glad I sorted that out. I don't want you to walk out of here doing that. The purpose is to say, to identify who this other is or who this enemy is and go, that is somebody that maybe I need to try a little bit harder with. Okay? And so, I use the word other because Christians never claim to have enemies. I don't have any enemies. I just love everyone, right? So I thought I'd dig a little bit and go, okay, well, let's talk about the person that you feel uncomfortable with. Oh, let's talk about the person that you're struggling to be in good relationship with. Let's talk about the group of people who make you feel uncomfortable and that you don't know how to connect with. Now you got somebody in mind? Okay, yes, I'm talking to you. Do you have someone in mind? Okay, get the name in your head. Don't say it out loud. Okay, but get that in your head. You get that person in your mind. Now, ready? Luke 6, verse 27. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. That person or those people that you've just identified as the ones you're not comfortable with or the ones you don't know how to connect with or the relationship's a little bit broken with, love them. And not back here, oh, love you. Do good to them. Actually, do good to them, which assumes that they notice, okay? And bless them and pray for them, which is different than talking about praying for them. Actually pray for them. It's this intentional thing and it's active. And we talked about this in some of our conversations on Facebook as well. And one person, they quoted part of the devotional that we had read. This is what they said. This part of today's devotion stood out to me, quote, when we meet people on their own turf, they will trust us more and be willing to welcome us into their lives, not wait for others to come to us. And then this is the person's response. Might say that with me. I'm guilty of waiting for others to come to me and then complaining about there being no change in that circumstance. I'm thinking of a family member that I don't have a very close relationship with, but I wish to have, and I've let my bitterness separate us furthermore. I know it sounds awful, but it's true. I appreciate that honesty. I'm betting there's a lot of us in the room that would go, me too. And then somebody else said, well, we stay in our lanes because there are no consequences or risks that come with that for the most part. But I love that God has something beautiful planned when we step into someone else's lane to create unity despite our differences that clash sometimes. Thought-provoking, hey? Yeah, we have some smart people at Evangel. Number three, hold up your fingers. Number three. Live openly, authentically, and relationally. Let people see who you really are. Let them see you. Live openly. Don't be afraid to let people see who you are. Intentionally build relationships. Pour into somebody else. Connect with somebody else and intentionally build a relationship. It's too easy to isolate and to withdraw and to put on a front and go, I'm fine. Everything's fine. I'm always fine. My whole life is fine and that's fine. Right? It's easy to do that. It's harder. We can't actually live our faith if we're in isolation from everybody else. Somebody says, well, no, I'm a follower of Jesus. It's just me and Jesus. No. You can't practice your faith just me and Jesus. You know why? Because practicing our faith is talking about loving our neighbor. How on earth can you love your neighbor if you don't have a connection with a neighbor? How on earth can you show kindness, which is part of our faith, if there's no one to show kindness to? You don't show kindness to the air. Right? You can't practice. We can't do any of those one another phrases in the New Testament, in the Bible. Bible constantly in the New Testament. One another this, one another that. Submit to one another. Serve one another. Love one another. Build one another up. All of these things. One another, each other. You can't do any of those things unless there's another. Okay? So Romans chapter 12 says, love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Now look at verse 13. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality, even if your house is messy. Doesn't say that. I just added that in. But bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. We're sometimes not very good at that second one. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people and don't think you know it all. Don't elbow anyone right now, okay? Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Live openly, authentically, and relationally. And we talked about this in our Facebook group too. I loved some of these comments that people made. One person said, we have to swerve out of our own lane with safety. It's just a metaphor. We have to swerve out of our own lane into the lane where other people are driving. And when we meet people on their own turf, they will trust us more and be willing to welcome us into their lives. Okay, I think I get it in my mind, but I won't lie by saying that it's my comfort zone. How do we do that without being judgmental? How do we undo the way we've been raised? Don't get me wrong, I want to, but I feel it's so hard. And then somebody replied to that person and said, well, one of the ways that I've found helps is asking God to help me listen. Just listen. Who is this other person? What's their story? What matters to them? What hurts them? I've been quite convicted and moved a few times when I slowed down enough to just see and listen to who someone is, not who I want them to be. And then another person, and they were just so open, and I appreciated it. They said, today's devotion took me back to a time that I was bullied, mostly because I was different. A certain teacher sat me down with my tormentor and made us talk to each other for over an hour, listening and trying to understand each other. Like in the devotional, we didn't become best friends, but we did have a friendship that lasted through high school and up until a few years ago. How cool is that? And then this fourth person said, you know, I love this. In the beginning of last year, God showed me the importance and meaning of church community like never before. Throughout the year, it seems like it's been a theme in my life that he has continued to teach me about. Being open and transparent about my personal walk with other followers of Christ has become such an essential part of my life to the point where I feel like doing it alone is actually pointless. Live openly, authentically, and relationally. And the bottom line of it all, hold up your fingers. Number four. It's the last one. It's your last chance. Number four. Here's the bottom line. Go. Say it with me. Go. Okay, say it like you mean it. A little bit, one more time, okay? Go, right? Go. Matthew 28, this is what Jesus said. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and in earth. Therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Listen, there are too many people in church, not this church, all the other churches, too many people who act like being a follower of Jesus means that we stay inside, that we huddle within here, that we only hang out with people that are like us, and we pray and we worship within our walls, and somehow that's going to bring us all into unity and it's going to help people meet Jesus. Jesus said, go. Jesus said, get out. Get out of the upper room. Get out of the space where you met God in the first place. Come back, yes, but get out and connect with people and connect with different people. Step out of your track just like he did. Go. And there was one person, and they wrote this comment on our Facebook page. It's the last comment I want to share with you today. It just stuck with me all week. This is what they said. They said, I wrote out that verse, Matthew 28. I wrote it out, and I highlighted the word go each time I saw it, and the coolest thing happened. I said, go? With the question mark. And the word go with the exclamation mark is what I saw. Jesus is commanding us to go and yet letting us know, I'm with you. Come on, let's go. Go. And you go, Patty, I don't know how to go. I don't know what that means. I'm going to give you some suggestions. You ready? Walk across whatever room you're in. At work, at school, with your family, here in the church here. Just walk to the other side of the room. And start a conversation with somebody different. Say hello to someone that you never said hello to before. You could, I don't want to create issues here, but you could actually sit in a different seat on Sunday morning. Can't believe she said that. I have tried to suggest that some of you sit in a different seat. And you quoted scripture to me. I shall not be moved. Just try. They're comfortable on the other side too. Try sitting in a different seat with different people and get to meet somebody different. Or ask somebody at work their story. Somebody in the place where you work or somebody your neighbors or somebody that you sit in a classroom with at university. Ask them their story. Hey, how long have you lived in Montreal? Hey, where were you born? What? Tell me about your family. Oh, do you have kids? Oh, do you have pictures? I'd love to see them. Ask them, what's your favorite childhood memory? What's your favorite Montreal moment? What is it that you've loved since coming to the city here? Tell me, what's your favorite food? Just ask them their story. Invite them to be part of a conversation with you. Or let somebody get to know you. Share part of your story. Maybe in the cash register line when you're going through the store and you're checking out and the person goes, oh, how's your day today? Well, I'm trying. No, this is what's happening in my day. Here's what's good. Here's what's bad. Don't hold them up and hold up the line, but have a little bit of a conversation. Tell somebody what it is that you're trying to learn that you feel a little vulnerable about. For me, it's usually going, well, I'm trying to learn French, but I don't have it yet, right? But let somebody know you. Let them start to figure out who you are. Be open and authentic and relational. And maybe you could engage with the world that you're in. Whether it's inside the church here or outside of the church. Just engage. And let's start creating some unity as followers of Jesus. Would you stand with me for a moment? I'm going to ask you if you would bow your heads. And here's the thing, there's already been application. We've been talking about it all the way through this message this morning. And so I'm not going to tell you what to do with this. I'm going to ask you to pause at this moment and ask God to tell you. So close your eyes, maybe bow your heads, whatever it is that helps you hear from God. And just pause and go, God, what do I need to do with this? What's one thing? Who's the one person that I've labeled as other? Who's the one people group that I feel uncomfortable with or that I have a hard time connecting with? God, what's the one thing that I can do? Can I send a note to somebody this week? Can I change where I sit or walk across the room in one of my settings this week? Can I start a conversation with somebody new? God, show me one thing with one person, one moment that I can do this week. Ask him to show you. And God's going to drop an idea in your head and you're going to be tempted to go, oh, no, not that. No, I just thought of that myself. That's not God. You know what? If you ask God for an answer and he gives you one, maybe take it as God's answer. And if you have the nerve, when that thing is dropped into your head, pray a prayer committing, I'm going to do it this week. I'm going to do it. Jesus, I'm going to reach out to that person. I'm going to walk across that room. I'm going to say hello to this person. I'm going to send a note to that one. I'm going to be open with this person. God, I commit to it this week. Just whisper that prayer. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. Just ask God to help you to trust his word today. Sing this as a prayer of committed. Give me faith
to trust what you say, that you're good, your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life.
So God, today we end this service by saying, give you my life. And not just in the big ways, but in the little ways, in the tiny little moments, I give you my life. I'm trusting that you're good. I'm trusting, God, that your word is true. I'm trusting that your love is great. And so I'm going to walk out of here today as a follower of Jesus, carrying this with me. And God, I'm asking, you know, you've dropped this idea in so many of our minds, and it's so easy for us to walk out of here and forget instantly. God, I'm asking you truly with all my heart, I'm asking in the name of Jesus that you would not let us forget, that you would elbow us in the ribs every day this week until we do what we said we would do, and that you would help us, God, to walk this out, this idea of unity, help us to carry Jesus to our world. Then bring us back safely next Sunday. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Why don't you walk across the room and say hello to somebody this morning that you don't normally say hello to? Grab yourself a coffee down in the Connect Cafe. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday.